This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's our guy from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Love talking to him, Ray Fittipaldo. He covers this football team. Good morning to you, Ray. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're good. Great. Ray, Excellent. Are you traveling to Minnesota?
Yeah, I'm hopping on a flight around noon today. This will be my first trip to Minnesota since I covered Penn State and the Gophers. I want to say like 2002 or 2003. It's been a while since I've been there.
Wow. Great stuff. You're going to enjoy it. It's wonderful out there. Did you hear it's like 59 degrees, I believe, in Minneapolis today?
Is it really?
No, it's not. not at all.
Take
not
the even good race.
Yeah, not even. Not my hopes up.
Not even close. Nope. It was 6 degrees this morning. I looked. Okay. All right. What did you glean from last week? And I guess let's take it from one side of the ball. What did you glean from the Steelers offense? And I guess I'll push it even forward. Can the Steelers run more no huddle? And what's the logic behind why they wouldn't?
I think they can, and I think they should do it more in the first halves of games. You know, Matt Canada was asked about it yesterday, and I think Matt, and Mike did this on Tuesday as well, to kind of like tamp down the storyline that it was all Ben doing it by himself. And Matt wouldn't even call it the no huddle yesterday. He wanted to call it going with pace. But however you want to frame it, the Steelers are by far more successful when they are not huddling than when they are huddling. I crunched the numbers. They average like 8 yards per play in the no huddle on Sunday against the Ravens, and it was really only like 4.5 or 4.6 yards per play when they were huddling. So, I think it's a way to overcome these slow starts too. Instead of being behind, you know, the way you were against the Chargers and having to go to it out of necessity, and they didn't do it out of necessity against the Ravens. They kind of did it to keep their personnel off the field on third downs. But like I said, however you want to look at it, it's been really good for them in two of the past three games, and I wouldn't be surprised at all on a short week if they went to it again on Thursday.
Well, what was interesting to me too, Ray, is that we went back and looked, and five of the final six plays that were officially tagged no huddle were run plays. You know, we become so traditionally conditioned to thinking no huddle means Ben and five wide receivers, or Ben and empty set, and he's just stepping back and slinging it. It told me something that, especially on a day where they were only averaging about 3 yards a carry, they still stuck with it, and Ben was still, you know, doing what Canada wants him to do, essentially counting the box, deciding where the strength was on the defense, and then attacking the weakness.
Yeah, there was a 13-yard run by Najee in there. There were some other positive runs. There was a 40-yard pass to Claypool. There were a couple of other, like, 7-8-yard gains to Deontay Johnson in there. So it was effective when they ran the ball. It was also effective when they threw the ball too. But I'm with you. I think it just keeps the defense, if you're gassing them and you're driving down the field on them, it's something where you're not able to catch your breath. And I thought they kind of wore down the Ravens defensive line in that game. And looking at the numbers going into that game, Steelers like 28th in rushing. I think the Ravens went into that game with the second ranked run defense in the NFL. So you wouldn't think that would have happened, but the Steelers were very effective in the way they ran that ball, especially late in the game.
Ray, what was remarkable to me on Sunday was how the defense was able to hold up, even though the offense was on the field for about 2 minutes in the entire first half. I'd never seen anything quite like it. and they were really, I mean, I don't know how the defense held up and then got better as the game went along.
Well, it helped that TJ was out there. I mean, that guy is a phenomenal football player. But, I mean, let's give some credit to Montrevious Adams, and let's give credit to that pro personnel staff for knowing where that guy was, to pluck him off the Saints practice squad and for him to come in and play the way he did. That was very impressive. And if you listen to Mike Tomlin on Tuesday, they think they might have found something there. You know,
his face lit up when right? It did. You couldn't see that necessarily. I guess you could see it on TV, right? But he really did. He got genuinely excited when his name came up.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, Tyson Alulu is under contract for next year. I think they'll, assuming that ankle is okay, I think they'll bring him back. But, you know, Adams potentially could be, a guy that you could lean on, even if it's as a depth piece, you know, in 2022, assuming they can find a way to sign him again. So, yeah, I mean, C.J. Watt was, whenever he plays like that, you're going to be in a football game and you're going to have a great chance to win. But there's a lot of other players who kind of stepped up and kind of unsung heroes in that game. So I thought Adams was number one in that category. They were really struggling against the run. And it's not like they shut down the Ravens, but he gave them enough in the middle of that defense that they took some small steps forward. And if they can continue to do that, I think it'll be, much better, development for the defense down the stretch here when they need it as the playoffs approach.
Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. That number is 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. I want to step back from the micro and look at the macro, look at the big picture for something. So Ben Roethlisberger and others, I'm not pointing it just at Ben, I'm pointing at a lot of players. Man, when there's a Thursday night game, they like to tell you just how taxing on the body it is. And it is. I understand concerns of NFL players in regard to Thursday night football, Ray. The league cares most about money, and that is true. Now, we're going to have labor peace all the way until 2030. But instead of complaining in December about it, why don't these players do something when it's CBA time? It seems like they like to bellyache about it while it's happening, but when it's boardroom time, why doesn't anybody say, wait a minute, stop the ride, we're not playing Thursday night football? They seem to like the riches, but don't like it when it's happening.
Yeah, I mean, Colin, it's just one of those things they like to complain about, but it's never been a bargaining chip for them when it comes to negotiating the CBA. I mean, if you look at the most recent negotiations, the thing they want is, you know, take care of our retired players better, the health care, all that type of stuff. I mean, does this fall under health care? Yeah, I mean, it's not good for your body, and it's probably not good for head injuries that you're going out there and playing on 4 days rest. But when Fox or whoever, Amazon, is paying them millions or even billions of dollars to add this to their network package, they're going to take it. So, I mean, Jim was down there this week. He knows it. They did not practice Monday. Yesterday was an hour walkthrough, and then they're going to get on a plane. There's almost no physical preparation for a game like this. It's all mental. So sometimes these Thursday night games can be bad because of that, but, you know, sometimes,
I hope they take your credential for reporting on the intimate nature of practice.
I don't think they cared that it was an hour long, but
we'll find out later.
It was only early. There was only a month left.
You bring up a good point, though, about the quality of football, Ray, about the quality of Thursday night games. And look, I get it. I'm sure, and this is the other part of it, too, that the Derek Tuskas, the Buddy Johnsons, you know, the Cody Whites or Kalen Balazs of the league, the guys at the bottom of the roster, they'll play on Wednesday at 10:30 in the morning in a Walmart parking lot because they're just trying to get as much as they can while they're in the league. We don't hear anything from those guys, and those guys don't talk to the media a lot these days given the way things are, but you hear it from the veterans. You hear it from a guy who's been in the league for over 15 years, from Ben Roethlisberger, who understandably just doesn't want to play on 3 days rest.
Yeah. I mean, they don't play on Fridays, I don't think, because of high school football, and they don't play on Saturdays because of college football, and they'll start playing on Saturdays, I think, in another week or two. That, sometimes those are games that, you know, the networks kind of, they want those games before the season starts. But Thursday's the best option. If you want to have a big, lucrative TV package, Thursday's going to be the day because you're never going to want to go up against college football on Saturday, even on a Friday too, which would just be one extra day. So I understand why they do it. I understand why the players complain. But, yeah, to Colin's point, do something about it at CBA time, but I don't think they ever will.
You know, Ray, what do you make of Akello Witherspoon, who, you know, we talked to him this week, and he brought up, and Keith Butler kind of said this too, that, you know, we saw him against Henry Ruggs. He was getting spot play, got burnt, and didn't play much since. And all of a sudden, he gets in for almost the entire game by necessity and played really well. Is it just a matter of him being around long enough, learning the defense, and playing faster? And are we going to see that again on Thursday?
I think we will see that again on Thursday. And, you know, Keith Butler mentioned that when he arrived, there wasn't a sense of urgency with Witherspoon. And then Keith was kind of pressed on it, and then he says, well, it wasn't done to motivate him, but, you know, he just kind of played it off. So I don't know what happened in September when he arrived, but it's great for the Steelers that, you know, he's finally come around. You know, James Pierre was struggling a little bit, played really poorly against the Bengals. And to have another option like that in your reserves, you know, a guy who's started a lot of games in the NFL, has played a lot, that, you know, that's certainly is nice to have. And he almost had an interception against the Ravens, ended up batting it down as well. And it wasn't just Witherspoon either. The Ravens did not have any big plays in the passing game. The longest pass against them was 29 yards to Mark Andrews, and that was early in the game. So both Witherspoon, Sutton, all those guys in the secondary did a really good job against Lamar Jackson, who I admit isn't a great passer and played terribly in that game. But still, in an NFL game, if you're giving up, your longest gain is 29 yards, you're doing something right.
All right, Raymond, we're going to welcome you into this exercise before we let you go. We did this earlier today. It was a lot of fun. A lot of people on social media weighed in on this. You hear this term, you couldn't pay me enough to live there. Have you heard somebody say that kind of as a figure of speech? You couldn't pay me enough to live there. And you're headed to a place that's going to be very cold, okay?
Yes, yes.
Is there anywhere in the lower 48 of the United States where if I paid you $1 million a year, you just flatly wouldn't live? You'd say you couldn't pay me enough to live there.
No, for $1 million, I'd live anywhere in the lower 48. Now, if you want to talk about like Alaska and like, you know, what's that called up there, Nanook or, you know, wherever.
Nunavut?
It is.
Yes.
Yeah, where? Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, that might be a little bit of a struggle. I'm not going to be like the Alaskan. What's that show like on National Geographic?
Alaskan Bush People or whatever?
Yes. Bush People, yeah. I don't know if you could pay me $1 million to do that, but lower 48, absolutely.
South Dakota, North Dakota, Ray could do it?
Yeah, you could. You got a computer. You can work from anywhere now, right?
Wyoming, Montana, Idaho.
Got to have an internet connection, Ray.
Anywhere. $1 million a year, I'll take it.
Middle of West Texas where there's nothing. You got to drive 80 miles to get to a Walmart. Ray could do it?
I'll do it. Maybe not southern West Virginia, but other than that, I think just
Connellsville.
Ray Fittipaldo,
could you live in Connells? Could you live in Connellsville for $1 million?
I could live in Connellsville, yes.
Okay.
I could live in Carmichael's. I could live in Mapletown. I could live in all these places.
Okay. All right, Ray. Thank you much. You're so wonderful. Have a safe trip, and we mean that, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Ray.
Mapletown. Mapletown. Ray could live down there in Mapletown.
Not a problem.
No, not a problem.
You can buy a pretty big spread probably for, you know,
I don't know. I'm
making
pretty,
$1 million.
You know, we mention all these places all the time. At some point, we're going to have to go and have shows and all these. We should
I ended up with a closet full of Avella apparel.
Yes, yeah. We should actually do a fan morning show small town tour.
That would
at
be
some
something.
Point. I think that wouldn't be the worst idea. Just go to Mapletown.
Yeah.
What are some of the Avella, Hunker? If we can.
Oh, Hunker.
Yeah.
There's a sign for Hunker.
Hunker,
right
off of Stanton. Yes, off that
we
way.
We should find the smallest places we can.
Yeah, that they can hear our show.
There's got to be like a little place in Fayette County with like 75 people that lives in it.
Go to all those kind of places. Go to that little diners in those places.
Uh-huh.
You probably are a rock star in those places, Jim. I'm out of all of us who work, you're undoubtedly the biggest person. Like the
most major person.
Rural areas?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure.
They know your love of country music.
I wonder how they feel about Ron in places like Mapletown or Avella or, you know.
It's one extreme or the other. There's
County.
Nowhere in the middle.
How do they feel about Ron when you went to Waynesburg? Did people mention him much, like in the journalism circles, producer Matt?
Not necessarily.
No?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like nobody like hated Ron, but it just didn't come up all that often.
He didn't move the needle, if you will?
Not really.
No, it didn't register? Okay. All right. I don't know. I'm honestly.
Starkey's a star down there, though, because he's teaching.
He is.
At Waynesburg.
Well, there's a little buttering up happening. In case they have him for class, they got to kind of be nice to him. Yeah. What does he teach at
I think it's a writing. I think it's a feature writing class. Oh. Pretty sure.
Does Starkey have the heart to fail people?
Yeah.
He does?
I bet he's a big stickler on attendance.
Like,
I don't know.
You know what? We may need to ask him that. Is he in the build? Oh, we're going to have Whaley in the 9
he's
o'clock
off.
Hour.
He no, Joe's off.
That's right.
Joe's off again today.
And tomorrow.
Next
I think
week.
He's back Friday.
Let's write that down. Let's bring him in for a segment. And I want to find out. I want his syllabus. I want to find out what his class is all about. I want to see if you're a student, what I can get away with, what I can't. Because Starkey, admittedly, wasn't the greatest college student. He went to 14 different schools.
Right. Went to every branch of SUNY.
He smoked anything that he could find that he could roll and drank anything that was too thin to eat. So I don't know if he can really be a stickler. I mean,
it's
like Thornton Mellon being the professor.
Do you think Joe's one of those guys, like you could get him, he would have a plan for a class, but if you asked him a certain kind of question, he'd go completely off on a tangent?
Yes.
That's what the Cook and Joe show is.
That's true. You think he sings?
Solid point, Matt. Solid point.
You're right about that. I think he's also one of those professors at the end of the semester. Hey, professor, come out and have a beer. And then you find him laying in an alley at 5 in the morning with vomit all over his chest that you just took him out to. Like, and he realized he can't hang with those kids anymore. Yeah, I think
not
you get
anymore.
Into that.
I think Joe's cleaned that part up.
Yes, maybe. You might catch him, though. Maybe the wife's out of town. So, you know, you might get Joe on an off night and just get him to go out, and he realizes he's way in the deep end real quick.
This is a disaster.
This is an unmitigated disaster, Horace.
And he's singing like an Animal House. He's singing that mellow tune.
Bishop.
That's enough.
Lutarski smashes the guitar.
Jim, I got to ask you about something that was said at practice yesterday. That's coming up next.
Fear this was coming.
Well, it's here.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.